presented by DogNation.com. This is Dog Nation Daily, the daily podcast for Georgia Bulldogs fans. Here's your host, Brandon Adams.
All right, coming up on the show a little later on, I am going to make a little thing into kind of a big thing, which can sometimes be dangerous, making more of something than it's probably intended to be. But if you're a Georgia fan, I think you'll like this, and I think you'll come along with me on this journey here coming up in just a moment. Because the big story, not just around Georgia as of late, but really around the SEC and to a certain extent all of college football, is the battle that is seemingly going on between Georgia and Tennessee, now that Tennessee has hired Jim Chaney. Chaney leaving Georgia to go to the Vols. And as we've said on the program now for a couple of days, both schools have their sort of own side of the story about what all this is. Both fan bases have kind of constructed their narrative about what really happened. Georgia fans in large numbers glad to see Chaney go. Tennessee fans in large numbers celebrating Chaney as if he's a conquering hero returning to Knoxville. And let me give you a couple of examples of this, and I'm going to tell you why this actually ought to be pretty funny for Georgia fans. We'll get to that coming up in just a moment. First of all, Georgia coach Kirby Smart has weighed in on this topic, releasing a statement yesterday. I'll read it to you quickly here. If you're watching, I'll show it to you on the screen. He says, "We're very fortunate to have Jim join our staff when I came to Georgia in 2016. He's been an integral part of the team and program over these last 3 years. We're grateful for his contributions to the Bulldogs during that time. I'm sure this represents a new challenge." Yeah, no doubt about that. "That will be exciting for Jim and his family, and we wish him all the best." That's Georgia coach Kirby Smart kind of going through the motions, totally without emotion in that statement. Pretty terse, all things considered. That's Kirby Smart's side of the story. But as I said a moment ago, it's really Georgia fans who are spinning their yarn here, kind of taking the bait from a lot of the media who've said Georgia didn't fight that hard to keep him, and Georgia fans have taken that baton to say that means that Georgia didn't even really want him. The failures at the goal line on the offense this season, the issues with LSU, maybe some of the stuff involved with Justin Fields, that's all Jim Chaney's fault, and good to have him out of the program now. Of course, for Tennessee, as I said, this is being sort of spun as, you know, a major coup, a big win for the program. A couple of examples of this. Brian Niedermeyer, who is the Tennessee's tight end coach, yesterday took to Twitter with quite a statement here in celebrating the fact that the Vols had hired Jim Chaney. Once again, if you're watching on video, I'll show you this. If you're listening, I'll read it to you. Niedermeyer says, "So we flipped an offensive coordinator from," and he says TSDS. Now, I had no idea what this means. I guess coming to find out it means the school down south. I guess Tennessee's not saying Georgia's name anymore. That's something that rivals do from time to time. Of course, Georgia doesn't say Tennessee's name because it doesn't think of Tennessee very often because they've been terrible for the last couple of years, but different schools have different reasons for doing what they do. Niedermeyer goes on to say, "I'm with it when it comes to taking away Chaney," and then he gives you the hashtag Big Bank Take Little Bank. So obviously, Tennessee feeling very proud of itself for finding $1.6 million, around about that anyway, the expected salary for Jim Chaney. They're feeling really good about that. But then we get to this, and this is the part where I'm going to kind of make a little thing into a big thing, but I'm going to do it because I'm pretty sure I'm right. Let me show you the tweet from Tennessee Athletics. Now, this is not the football official account. This is the athletic department official account. And we, you know, showed this to you on DogNation.com yesterday. But the context here, you've got to completely understand. The Tennessee Athletics Department kind of throwing shade at UGA, kind of, you know, whatever else the kids are saying these days. Let me show this video of Philip Fulmer. It's a picture of Philip Fulmer, and it's like this meme that you've seen on the internet a lot where he's sitting there, and all of a sudden, the sunglasses, the shades come, you know, kind of falling down, and you see a deal with it. You see that meme. That's a very popular thing around social media and a lot of regards. And yeah, here it comes on the screen for those of you watching video right now. The shades land there on Fulmer's eyes, and it's a deal with it thing. So this is Tennessee saying, "Hey, we're big and we're bad. We just hired away Jim Chaney, and look how cool Philip Fulmer looks with all of this." But that is, for me, where things get really interesting. Think about this for a moment if you're a Georgia fan. In a couple of minutes, we're going to talk about Georgia's attempt to hire a defensive coordinator. Let's say that Georgia does hire, and we've probably seen enough of that on video. I don't know that Georgia fans want to keep seeing Philip Fulmer there with all that going on. But think about if Georgia made a big-time coordinator hire. Can you imagine Georgia celebrating as if it's a big accomplishment for athletic director Greg McGarrity? Because the leader of the Georgia football program is not McGarrity. He's the athletic director. He's technically the coach's boss. But the leader of the Georgia football program is the coach, Kirby Smart. So if Georgia made a big hire as a coordinator or retaining Sam Pittman, which Jeff Sintel from Dog Nation reported yesterday that Georgia's going to do, that's not viewed as, look how big and bad the athletic director is. That's viewed as, look how competent and capable Georgia coach Kirby Smart is. It's a very different scenario, I think, at Georgia compared to Tennessee. When you see Tennessee hiring Jim Chaney, instead of that being projected as a big win for a young head coach going into his second year, Jeremy Pruitt, no, it's deal with it, Philip Fulmer. Philip Fulmer's the guy that gets the sunglasses meme. He's the guy that gets to say deal with it. This is being treated as a big win for Fulmer. Well, who is it that's the face of the Tennessee program right now? Is it Fulmer or is it Pruitt? Well, if there's any debate about that whatsoever, I think that's a potential problem for Tennessee. And the more I think about it, the hiring of Jim Chaney with the contract that he's going to get, the salary he's going to get paid, I think that could only further kind of expose the potential rift that could exist between between Pruitt and Fulmer over just exactly who has full control over the Tennessee football team and just exactly who is the true face of the Tennessee program. If you don't believe me, let me give you some more evidence. Let's go back to last spring and summer when Philip Fulmer was kind of inserted there as a Tennessee athletic director. And, you know, he's making the media rounds and obviously a former very good Tennessee coach. He's asked what the influence that he's going to have on the current Tennessee coach, a guy who at that time, Jeremy Pruitt, had never coached a game before. And Pruitt tries, I should say Fulmer, he tries to say the right things. He tries to be the guy who's hands off. Hey, I'm just here to be the athletic director. But listen here to the examples of how, when it's all said and done, Fulmer kind of can't really help himself. Here is Philip Fulmer from before the start of the season talking about what he thought his relationship with Jeremy Pruitt was supposed to be. Take a listen.
That's a fine line. You know, I'm not the coach. I don't want to be the coach. He's the coach. He's going to make the, you know, personnel decisions. He's going to make the third and short or the fourth and short call either side or when to blitz or when to play prevent, you know, all those things. But if I can keep him out of a ditch that I may have been in before or Coach Dickey kept me out of, you know, somewhere along the way, or just to have general conversation that – with somebody that I don't have an agenda except that he has success.
Exactly.
That's my agenda. Everybody else around him, coordinators included, oftentimes can have, well, I want to lead the conference in passing so I can get a head coaching job. I want to do this. You know, I mean, everybody has an agenda. I don't. I'm interested in our program getting back to competing at a championship level.
I got to tell you, I find that audio to be fascinating. Jeremy Pruitt's the coach. It's his team. But if I can keep him out of a ditch. I don't have an agenda. I just want what's best for Tennessee. But if I feel like this young, inexperienced coach is veering in the wrong direction, I'll come and take part of the control and maybe take all the credit. Because after all, when you look at the Jim Chaney hire, the way that it was spun by Tennessee on social media yesterday, who does it seem is getting the credit for this, for corralling that money to get this done? Is it Pruitt moving into his second year or Philip Fulmer as the athletic director? You seem to see, based on the, hey, deal with it shades meme, that this is a celebration for Fulmer, maybe more so than a celebration for Pruitt. Once again, to sort of put a maybe too fine of a point on this, but to kind of further accentuate this, here's a little more from Fulmer talking about what he thinks his relationship with Pruitt's going to be. Ask yourself this question. As a Georgia fan who knows Pruitt going back to the time that he was Georgia's defensive coordinator, does the description that Fulmer provides of how he thinks he might help Pruitt, does that sound like something that Jeremy Pruitt's going to enjoy? Here's more from Philip Fulmer.
And the only experience I had to draw from would have been my experience as a head coach. And I was really fortunate to have Doug Dickey there for me. You know, he had been a coach at Tennessee. You know, he knew the place. He knew the people. It was a good transition, an easy transition. And when I needed help, he was there. And I wasn't so prideful that I didn't ask for the help or advice. Now, we didn't always agree. Fact is, I think sometimes he came down and just threw stuff on the wall, you know, to see what would stick and where the conversation might go. And that was healthy, too. And And I think Jeremy and I have that same kind of relationship. I've been where he's trying to go, and I know what it looks like. He certainly knows what it looks like. Gosh, he's, you know, had success everywhere that he's been. Extreme success, not just success, extreme success. I just think it's a very good situation for us to build on.
So Fulmer wants to go sit in Pruitt's office and just throw stuff at the wall and see what sticks. Can you imagine? Jeremy Pruitt, the hard-driving, energetic guy that he is, having to sit there and listen to Fulmer just sort of expound on his theories on football and life. I think this is a powder keg. And I'm wrong about a lot. Maybe I'm wrong about this. Maybe these two guys are just two peas in a pod, and they'll be the happiest two guys for years and years and years to come. But I think the presence of Jim Chaney and the money that he's going to be paid, I think further exposes what is a complicated relationship with a big personality like Fulmer as athletic director and a big personality like Jeremy Pruitt as head coach. Because the money Chaney's getting paid comes from somewhere. There are some boosters around that Tennessee program who are going to be a little more interested in the scenario on the field this season because they've been asked to pony up a little more to expand the coaching staff. And I think the relationship and the story between Fulmer and Pruitt is just getting started here. Little thing when it comes to who gets the credit for hiring Jim Chaney, maybe so. But little things over time have a way of turning into big things. And the situation with Tennessee there, I think, is going to get pretty interesting as we move on in the future. My name is Brandon Adams. This is Dog Nation Daily, the daily podcast for Georgia Bulldogs fans. And I'd love to hear your thoughts on this. Do you think that the relationship between Fulmer and Pruitt can last forever? Is this a relationship that can really work? And how does the Jim Chaney thing complicate that? If you want to weigh into me on Twitter at Dog Nation Daily, love to have you do that. We also post the show every day as a podcast at theworldfamousdognation.com. That's a great place for you to weigh in on this. And I'm going to write in the forum later on today on this very subject. So check out the forum at forum.dognation.com. Another great way for you to weigh in on this show. I really don't consider this topic to be over until you've had your chance to weigh in. So we're going to do that today. And of course, thanks for being with us here today live on the program on video, 10 a.m. Dog Nation, Facebook, YouTube, Twitter. We're also on the radio at noon on Athens Sports Radio 960 The Rep. And as I said, we're available as a podcast as well. We really appreciate you being with us. Later on today, we're also going to get some more details on just exactly, you know, how interesting the scenario has been as Jim Chaney leaves Georgia and goes to Tennessee, what it means from both programs. We're going to bring in an expert from Knoxville, Jimmy Hyams from WNML, great radio station in Knoxville. Jimmy, a great evaluator of things going on around the SEC. Jimmy Hyams is going to give us some really good stuff coming up on this in just a couple of minutes. Before that, though, let's go around the doghouse here on this Thursday, brought to you by Online Trading Academy. And I mentioned this to our video audience before our show began that there was a really interesting piece at DogNation.com yesterday. And it's Mike Griffith, whose reporting has just been incredible over the course of the last couple of days. You know, all over the Jim Chaney story and the true facts behind Chaney's departure from Georgia, and now all over the defensive coordinator search for UGA as well. Let me show you a couple of sentences from Mike. You can go to DogNation.com and get more full, complete details on this. But Mike letting us know that you know, one of the few outside candidate names that I think would get some Georgia fans excited is indeed a consideration. Let me read you Mike Griffith from DogNation.com here. Mike writes that the Georgia football search for defensive coordinator is winding down, and sources close to the situation say Oakland Raiders secondary coach Derek Ansley is, quote, under strong consideration for a position with the Bulldogs. That coming from Mike Griffith from DogNation.com on that. Ansley, of course, who has, you know, been the Raiders secondary coach, but also been a recruiter in the SEC, worked at Alabama. This is one of those outside names. If Georgia could make that impact, I think would be huge for the program. Now, if you're a Georgia fan and you want to, you know, as I said, get more context for this, you got to check out Mike at DogNation.com for more on that. But if you also want to be a little more hopeful for why, you know, maybe this could be a possibility. Now, listen, Ansley's got a lot of opportunities. He's got a lot of, I'm sure, offers and whispers of offers that he's probably weighing right now, including maybe being a head coach. But we are seeing some of these, you know, lower-level Division I head coach opportunities starting to dry up a little bit. I noticed that Yahoo Sports is reporting that former Auburn offensive coordinator, now the OC at Kansas, another one of these guys that just took a job but maybe leaving for another job. Looks like Chip Lindsey could become the head coach at Troy, which would be one of those jobs that Ansley might have wanted. Ansley might have wanted to be the Troy head coach, giving his recruiting ties to the South. He'd it could be a head coach at some point in time, but it looks like one of those jobs is kind of drying up. So in terms of why some of these things drag on as long as they do, sometimes the candidates weighing other offers, sometimes the school itself is weighing other candidates, one way or another, we may be coming to a conclusion here. There's still a very good chance that Georgia goes inside with this. I think that Dan Lanning or Glenn Schumann would both be really good candidates. But there's also at least a possibility, according to Mike Griffith here, they're going to look outside the program. And if they do, there'd be no bigger name to be brought in and no better guy to come into the program than Derek Ansley there. That is certainly a story worth watching. Around the Doghouse here today, as I said, brought to you by Online Trading Academy. And Online Trading Academy provides professional instruction on how you can make money in the markets. And the great news is that's when the market moves in either direction, because after all, we've seen a lot of volatility as of late. Online Trading Academy students learn a step-by-step approach to trading and investing. Classes cover a spectrum of trading styles and asset classes in the classroom and online. So invest in yourself today. You can learn more by going to onlinetradingacademy.com/Atlanta. Once again, actually, let me make sure I correct myself on that. It's tradingacademy.com. That's the website. Tradingacademy.com/Atlanta. Check them out. It's great to have them as a part of Around the Doghouse here on Dog Nation Daily. All right, we'll have a little bit on the Justin Fields news from yesterday later on the program. For now, though, more on the big story between Chaney, what happened at Georgia, what's next for Tennessee. Let's talk to an expert on that subject. Let's talk to Jimmy Hyams right now. And, of course, he is a longtime voice around the SEC. No one knows this league better in that part of the country there in Knoxville than Jimmy Hyams from WNML, great radio station in Knoxville. Jimmy, a great guest to have here today on Dog Nation Daily. Jimmy, we really appreciate your time. Thank you so much for being with us, I think for the first time. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great. I appreciate you inviting me.
Well, I'm glad to have you here. And one of the things that we've talked about, and I'm sure your radio program has probably seen the same kind of thing over the last couple of days, is there seems to be a real difference in how Georgia fans have kind of viewed this story and how Tennessee fans have viewed this story, maybe even a difference between the two institutions themselves in terms of how they're spinning this. A lot of Georgia fans are going to tell you, in the case of Chaney, that's good riddance. That's a guy that, you know, Kirby Smart wasn't trying that hard to keep. And we've seen on social media from Tennessee the last couple of days an example of this being a major coup for the program to bring in the offensive coordinator from one of their rivals. Are you kind of seeing the same thing, that it looks like Tennessee and Georgia are telling two pretty different stories here about this departure and about this exodus from Chaney from Athens to Knoxville?
Yes, I am. And I guess that's maybe typical of some fan bases. If you're on Tennessee's side and you get Chaney, you're delighted because you got a guy from Georgia, and he had served here before. If you're Georgia, you're probably like, oh, well, we can win without him. I'm not surprised at the reaction, but I'll say this. Whenever Tyson Helton left Tennessee to go to Western Kentucky, it was mentioned to me back in early December, I think it was, about Jim Chaney. And I thought it'd be a home run hire. I have worked with Jim Chaney. I have seen him call plays. He was here for 4 years. I thought he did a terrific job of molding Jonathan Crompton, who was kind of a has-been, into a guy that got drafted. He also coached Tyler Bray. The offenses here were very productive. They didn't always win a lot of ball games, but one year they averaged 36 or 37 points. It's just that they gave up 36 or 37 points. I think he is an excellent play caller. I've had two coaches in the SEC that I respect tell me that he's the best play caller and the best offensive coordinator in the SEC. I think he's a tremendous hire for Tennessee, and I'm not sure why the Georgia fan base would be unhappy with him. They won an SEC title. They played in the college football playoff. They scored a lot of points. They led the SEC in rushing. And Chaney has had the versatility of not only coaching teams that led a league in rushing, but he's also coached teams that led leagues in passing. I think he can do both. So I think it's a very good hire for Tennessee. And frankly, in December, I didn't think they could get him. It wasn't until January that I saw that he was very hireable. And I think it's a really good gift for Tennessee.
So let me flesh this out a little bit more, because you did tweet that the other day. I think you also wrote that at your station's website as well.
Yes, but
about the idea of what sources had told you about, you know, how Jim Chaney is viewed in terms of the hierarchy of SEC play callers. And I'll tell you, Jimmy, I've talked on the show about the overall statistical profile for Chaney at Georgia being very good. You mentioned some of the stats. There are others that you could point to that suggest that Chaney did do a good job with the Georgia offense. But let me let you respond to what the
the rebuttal from a lot of Georgia fans is, because I'm honestly curious of your opinion on this. The but that comes from a lot of Georgia fans is, yeah, but the offense disappeared against LSU. Or, yeah, but the offense disappeared in the second half against Alabama in two consecutive seasons. They'll reference the November trip to Auburn in 2017 as well, where, yeah, you know, Jim Chaney's scoring a lot of points, generating a lot of yards, and for the most part dominating almost every opponent that Georgia plays. But against good teams, top 10 Auburn from 2017, top 10 LSU from 2018, obviously, you know, the behemoth Alabama the last two times they played, in at least parts of those games, the Georgia offense completely disappeared. How do you think the people that have vouched for Chaney would respond to that? And based on your own knowledge of the situation, what do you say to the Georgia fans who grew frustrated with him because of the fact that the Georgia offense seemed to disappear at opportune times?
How did Alabama's offense do against Auburn a year ago? How did Alabama's defense do against Clemson? How did Nick Saban do his first year at Alabama when he lost to Louisiana Monroe? Nobody's going to have perfect games all the time. There's not that coach out there. I've seen Bill Belichick make some decisions that I thought were incredibly stupid. And he's one of the greatest coaches in the history of the NFL. Going for it on 4th-and-3 on his own 29 against the Colts a few years ago, and having Rob Gronkowski back there on pass defense against Miami Dolphins. So I think you, if you want to cherry pick, you can do that. I would look at a coach, and I wouldn't determine a couple of games here or there to define that person. By the way, Alabama's pretty good. You let them, wasn't it 28-14 and you missed the field goal at Georgia?
Now we're getting into uncomfortable subjects for Georgia fans.
But hey, in my opinion, if Blankenship makes that field goal, Georgia's going to win that football game if they go up by 17, but they didn't. And so, and LSU, as good as LSU is, and they hammered Georgia, they beat them badly that game. And then Florida beat LSU. Nobody. Very rarely, because I shouldn't say nobody, that's Clemson certainly did. But hardly anybody goes through a season where they don't have a couple of bad games. I guess Clemson's bad game was a close win against Syracuse. But things like that happen. So I look at the big picture. I don't cherry pick a few situations. I look at what is done overall. And by the way, I think Chaney called a heck of a game against Alabama in that national championship game that they lost. They scored a lot of points. It's hard to score in Alabama. So I look at the big picture. I look at versatility. I look at, does he get the most out of the players? And for the most part, he does. I think he did a really nice job with Jake Fromm. He also had two 1,000-yard rushers in back-to-back years by four different players. Nobody's ever done that. So I think there are far more positives about Jim Chaney than there are negatives.
Let me let you weigh in on a subject that I've mentioned today and mentioned before, and this may be wishful thinking on the part of a host of a show called Dog Nation Daily, but nonetheless, I'm a big believer that when you look at a strong personality like Philip Fulmer as athletic director and a strong personality like Jeremy Pruitt as head coach, that seems like a powder keg that at some point in time could be an issue. And I think that the hiring of a very expensive offensive coordinator does have the potential of complicating that even further. Do you think that the Fulmer and Pruitt relationship can last over the course of time? Because we know that Fulmer likes, or at least there's the perception here that, you know, that he likes to have some influence. And there's also the perception that even if you want to go back to Pruitt's time at Georgia, that he doesn't always play well with others. Does a very expensive offensive coordinator complicate that relationship in your mind?
That's a good question. And I'm going to say right now I don't think so. Jim Chaney's been around the block. He's been in this business for, 30-something years. He's been an offensive coordinator at many different stops. I think he has the personality to handle other personalities. Now, does Philip Fulmer like to be involved? You bet. He's been seen out at practice quite a bit. He has watched film with Jeremy Pruitt. We're told at Pruitt's request. But I actually had a coach that told me that there were some offensive coordinators that were scared off from Tennessee because they weren't sure they could work for Pruitt and they weren't really sure about the Philip Fulmer influence. I will say this. A guy told me the other day, he said, you know, I don't know that Fulmer really wants Pruitt to succeed at the level Fulmer did. I think that's ridiculous because I think that if Pruitt succeeds at a high level, who gets a lot of the credit? Philip Fulmer. So if he can restore the football program, he's a guy that gets about as much credit as Pruitt does. So you better believe Fulmer wants him to succeed. Now, is there a powder keg there? Possibly. I don't think that Philip Fulmer and Jeremy Pruitt see eye to eye on everything. I think that Jeremy Pruitt wanted to hire Hugh Freeze back in December, and I think Philip Fulmer did not endorse that hire. So I do think there are differences of opinion. They both have strong personalities. So is there potential there for that? Yes, but I think ultimately they realize that for the greater good, they need to have some agreements to make sure the Tennessee program go forward. But Tennessee hadn't been relevant, has rarely been relevant in the last decade. They were relevant the year they beat Florida and Georgia, but then they blew it by losing to South Carolina and Florida. I'm sorry, South Carolina and Vanderbilt. So they've had a couple of nine-win seasons. Look, here's the deal for Tennessee, my opinion. The goal is to compete for the East Division. It's not to win the SEC. You got to compete for the East first. Then you got to win it. Then you play for the SEC. So I think the goal should be reasonable. Well, first of all, I guess you got to get the bowl game and compete for the East. And I think that they have the common goal of trying to win. And so what they have to do is set their egos aside and for the greater good to see if they can help this football program. Is there a chance for conflict? You bet. But I think that chance exists at a lot of staffs.
At Georgia and Tennessee, this is obviously going to be dealt with in the standpoint that Chaney's leaving one school and going to the other. Around the rest of the country, though, the only part of this that's going to get any attention whatsoever is the money Chaney is making, the salary that he's going to be paid. It certainly sounds like an awful lot of money. Is there any reason for anyone to pump the brakes and say, is it too much money? I mean, does the money really matter here? It's going to get a lot of headlines and a lot of attention, especially if it's as high as what's been reported, which there's no reason for me to believe that it won't be. Any concern about paying Chaney that much money?
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, Tennessee has the funds to do it. So, and as I'm sure you reported, it's 3 years at $4.8 million. He starts at 1.5, goes to 1.6, then 1.7. I found out today that his first year he'll pay taxes of $485,000. I would love to find a day when I can pay that much in taxes. But I haven't reached that point yet. I would like to pay taxes on $485,000. Chaney's by far the highest paid offensive assistant in the country. There are a couple of $2 million defensive guys out there, Dave Aranda at LSU, Brett Venables at Clemson. But Chaney's by far, and also Tennessee's going to pay the $500,000 buyout. I don't know if they had to go there to hire him. I've actually heard different figures on what Chaney was making at Georgia. I don't know if it's $950,000 a year or something in that range. But anyway, is there a concern about this thing spiraling up? There is nationally, but it is amazing to think back. 20 years ago, Tennessee won a national championship, and I think for the first time, Philip Fulmer became a $1 million coach. And now, 20 years later, you got coordinators making $2.5 million,
yeah,
and you're paying your offensive coordinator, Tennessee, over $1.5 million over a three-year period. That's amazing. I'll tell you what's allowed some of that to happen, at least in the SEC, is the SEC network. The league is making millions. They share millions with schools. And so schools are enabled to pay a lot more than they could have prior to the SEC network, which has been a tremendous windfall. A
couple other quick things, Jimmy, before we let you go. First of all, there's the issue with Georgia offensive line coach Sam Pittman, who, as you're probably aware, he may be the most popular Georgia assistant coach since Irk Russell, which is obviously saying a lot, but Georgia fans love Pittman. It's been reported that Pittman is going to stay at Georgia. He obviously had a close relationship with Jim Chaney. Do you get the sense that Tennessee was working to get Pittman to come along with Chaney? How serious do you think those talks ever got in Knoxville on that side?
I think that Jim Chaney would love for Sam Pittman to have joined him at Tennessee. The problem is there's not an opening at Tennessee for Pittman. And I think Jeremy Pruitt's closest friend on the staff, and I'm saying friend, is Will Friend. And he's a guy that they've known each other, they've coached together, and guess what? He coaches the offensive line. The only way, potentially, for that to have worked, in my opinion, and I don't know that either one of them would agree to it, Will Friend, you coach tackles and tight ends. Sam Pittman, you got the guards and centers. We're going to split it up. Mm. Tennessee did that years ago with two offensive line coaches, and it didn't work. And I don't think that it would have worked in this case. But that's probably about the only way that that Tennessee would have been able to get Sam Pittman. I did ask the question of somebody close to Chaney recently, would Chaney go to Tennessee without Pittman? And they told me yes. Now, as you know, Pittman and Chaney coached together at Tennessee. They coached together at Arkansas. They've been together at Georgia. They're very close. They work very well together. But at this point, I don't see Pittman coming here. One other thing I'll add, I asked Jeremy Pruitt yesterday during our interview, would Chaney coach quarterbacks? And he said, we haven't worked that out yet.
Okay.
And I'm thinking, oh, wait a minute. So that tells me that there could be more potential changes on this offensive staff. And what they might be, I'm not sure. But I would not be surprised to see Pittman stay, but I would also not be surprised to see Tennessee make some more changes on its staff.
Jimmy, real quick final question for you. You alluded to this earlier, and I do think it's an important thing to ask. Obviously, hiring Chaney is more about a long-term deal of what Tennessee can be over the next 3 years, but there's the issue of 2019 to deal with. Georgia's obviously still really good. Florida seems like a program ascending a bit with Dan Mullen. Missouri wasn't too bad this season. How do you think Tennessee fits into that picture next season? What does Jim Chaney mean immediately for the Vols?
I think what he needs is a better offensive line. That's what he needs, and I don't know that he's going to get it. Now, there are a lot of ifs. If Tennessee can get Darnell Wright, who's a top offensive line, offensive tackle prospect out of West Virginia, to go to Wanye Morris, who's out of Georgia, if they can get those two, and they've already got Morris, if they can get Wright, that automatically makes the offensive line better. They signed the best offensive lineman in the state of Tennessee. They signed one of the other three top linemen in the state, the kid out of Memphis. And I don't know if they're going to get Trey Smith back. He's got the blood clot issue. He may never play again. But with those, they've got three freshmen that can come in and either play a lot or start. That's where it begins with Tennessee. If Tennessee doesn't upgrade the offensive line considerably, it's going to be hard for them to be successful. Chaney is going to have to do more with less. I don't think Tennessee is ready to make a big move next year. And, in fact, before they hired Chaney, I had them going 5-7. With Chaney, they might get to a bowl game, which is 6-6. I think year three is when you see Tennessee make its move, but I don't see Tennessee being considerably better in 2019 than it was in 2018.
Well, I'll tell you what, Jimmy, you are a great guy to have on the show. Obviously, this is a very interesting overlap between Georgia and Tennessee. For Dog fans who want to find out more about one of those East rivals, how can people get in touch with you, hear the radio program, or any of the other content you're putting out?
My blogs are on sportsradiownml.com, and I post usually a couple blogs a week. Also, my Twitter account is at Jimmy Himes, and be careful with that. I have had at one point 24 fake accounts out there. And it kind of bothers me because people put out fake news. Like a month ago, they had me saying that Hugh Freeze had been hired, wasn't true. But at Jimmy Himes is my Twitter account, and so if you want to email me, jimmy.himes@cumulus.com. I respond to every email I get. I respond to every tweet, I guess you'd say, that I send out. I try not to respond to ones I don't.
Sure.
But anyway, that's how you can get in touch with me. And we do our show every day from 3 to 7. You can find us on 990 AM, 99.1 FM.
Hey, thanks for your time, Jimmy. We'll talk to you soon, okay?
Thanks for having me.
Let's take a look around the rest of the league. This is SEC Through.
Good stuff from Jimmy Himes there, WNML in Knoxville, a guy who knows the Tennessee program really well. And it's kind of interesting. He confirms a couple of things that we've sort of had ideas about. That, yeah, you know what? That issue between Fulmer and Pruitt, now he doesn't say it's going to indeed, you know, veer into the direction of being problematic. But he does indicate that around here on Dog Nation Daily, we're not the only ones who've said that. Did you hear that? That Pruitt may have wanted to hire Hugh Freeze at one point in time. Fulmer says no. Some offensive coordinators scared off of that job because of the influence that Fulmer might have there and the relationship therein. That's one of the reasons why we like bringing in these outside voices to the program, because I do think they can give us some insight on the other side of things sometimes that we can't necessarily get on our own. And I thought that was really pretty interesting there, pretty interesting. So it also, you sort of get the sense that in terms of holding on to Sam Pittman, which Georgia is going to do, that the bigger threat may not have been Tennessee. It may have actually been Alabama, assuming Brent Key is on his way out there. But one way or another, it looks like Georgia has kept really what I think is the nucleus of this program from an offensive standpoint, more so than the offensive coordinator, I think, is Sam Pittman. Georgia's a unique program in that regard. We've discussed that before, and holding on to Pittman is going to end up being key for UGA. Before we do the rest of our SEC through, there was one thing I was supposed to do early in the program I forgot. I don't want you to forget about this, though, because it's going to be gigantic next week. Another great countdown to signing day event at the Marlows in Buford. Y'all know that that's the part of the country that I came from. I grew up in Hall County, lived in Gwinnett County for a long time. So Buford, I mean, that's right there, my old stomping ground. So I love being back up there in North Gwinnett County, right there at the Mall of Georgia. And would love to have you come out and see us if you can be anywhere near Buford by this Tuesday. It's 6 to 8 p.m. p.m. on January 15th, Marlowe's Tavern. It's 3333 Buford Drive, but it's the Mall of Georgia location. So when you find the Mall of Georgia, you've essentially found that Marlowe's Tavern right there in Buford. They'll have specials that night. You wear your red and black. You can get the complimentary appetizer. It's a great opportunity for you to be a big part of a big thing. And it all goes down this upcoming Tuesday for the Countdown to Signing Day event. I hope you'll be there. Jeff Sintel was great at this event last week, really giving some inside scoop and some inside skinny. So please check that out this upcoming Tuesday, another Countdown to Signing Day event, this time at the Marlowe's Tavern in Buford. What a great time that's going to be. All right, a couple of SEC stories to get to. And then I do want to talk about Justin Fields for a moment. Speaking of Fields, the transfer portal was a topic yesterday. This time a different quarterback has found his way into there, been sucked into the transfer portal. It's now former Alabama quarterback Jalen Hurts. I'm going to say former because it looks like he's on his way to a new team. And one of these online sports books, and I apologize for not knowing which one, it's our friends at MyBookie. Let me give credit where credit's due. Our friends at MyBookie have got odds up for the transfer destination for Jalen Hurts here. They've got TCU as the favorite to land Hurts. TCU the favorite to land Hurts here. They've got Auburn next at 5-1. TCU's at 4-1. Auburn's at 5-1. Maryland also at 5-1 as well. You'll understand the connection there with Mike Locksley. Miami's also in the mix. I guess Jalen Hurts has recently followed a lot of Miami accounts. We typically take that kind of stuff as pretty serious sometimes. It looks like he's followed a lot of Miami stuff on social media. That may mean something, that may not. You got Houston and Arkansas in the mix there as well. Also, he's 7-1 to remain at Alabama. So our friends at MyBookie putting those odds out there. That's going to be one of the big stories to follow. And let me tell you something. I don't believe that Hurts would ever go to Auburn, but if he ever did, man, how interesting would that be? But Jalen Hurts is in the transfer portal right now. John Greenard is a former linebacker at Louisville, and he actually put up some pretty good stats. It looks like he's on his way as a transfer to Florida. And, you know, I'm a big believer that these transfers, I think we actually have Greenard's announcement he can put up here on social media. He says, I want to thank God for giving me the opportunity to still be able to play this game. He's been hurt. That's what he's referencing there. Thank the other universities for considering me as well. With that being said, I'm going to continue my collegiate career as a grad student at the University of Florida. So a grad transfer is Greenard. This is a guy that's had, you know, a good number of tackles for loss, had 50-something tackles most recent season for Louisville. This is a guy that, you know, that's played a little football. I think that does give Florida a little help defensively, I'm guessing. Now, we've seen examples of this at Georgia. Sometimes the transfer comes over, makes a huge impact. Sometimes the transfer doesn't necessarily make a big impact, but you're always better off with guys than not, especially for Florida, who's got some room on its roster. Presumably, Grantham knows this young man pretty well, so they bring him in. That may be one of those things worth watching here for a moment. And then, finally, let me finish with this. We may talk more about this tomorrow a little bit. Y'all know I love way too early top 25s. We congratulated Athlon Sports for being the first of those, I believe, and I don't want to give credit where credit isn't due, but I believe that Athlon Sports was the first way too early top 25 here for the calendar year of 2019. Shortly after that, we've seen Dennis Dodd, CBS Sports. We've seen Mark Schlabaugh from ESPN. So far, am I correct in saying every way too early top 25 that I've seen has had Georgia number 3? Is that correct? Athlon, CBS, ESPN. The other thing about the ESPN way too early top 25, which I like Mark Schlabaugh, that's probably always the most interesting one to me. Because the other thing about ESPN, which I like, is they update their way too early top 25 as the season goes on, post-signing day, spring practice. And I like that because there are some things that happen over the course of a calendar year that do evolve your opinion, even during the dead of offseason, so to speak. But what I thought was interesting about the first iteration of the ESPN way too early top 25, as it stands now, Georgia's slated to play 5 teams ranked in that way too early ESPN ranking, including teams like Notre Dame and Texas A&M, kind of newcomers to the Georgia schedule, which are actually ranked pretty high. So for Georgia, 2019, at least right now, is shaping up to be a little bit more of a difficult schedule. And as I said, we may focus in some more on that kind of stuff in the days ahead here once some of this coaching hire and recruiting news slows down just a little bit. But for now, we'll make that your SEC through. And here on Dog Nation Daily, I do want to make you aware of the fact that Thomas Mars, the lawyer representing Justin Fields, did speak yesterday. He's been quoted by a number of outlets here as of late. I want to give you an example from the Toledo Blade, and I picked the Toledo Blade because they were the first outlet to really suggest that Justin Fields was likely to land at Ohio State. So they've had good reporting on this. Mars spoke to them yesterday, and apparently Thomas Mars is pushing for a quick resolution to Justin Fields' issue when it comes to trying for immediate eligibility at Ohio State. The statement from Mars says, unlike the situation with the Ole Miss transfers, he's referencing Shea Patterson and others, which kind of dragged on for a while. He says the process of obtaining a waiver for Justin isn't going to drag on for months. This is a high priority for Ryan Day. That's the new coach at Ohio State. And Thomas Mars says, it's my top priority at the moment. I'm confident the process will move quickly and that the NCAA will be able to make a decision on Ohio State's waiver request much sooner than most people think. So that's Thomas Mars, Toledo Blade, suggesting that the Justin Fields thing could all happen pretty quick within the next few weeks, maybe. Now, you may be wondering, why am I bringing this up today? I wanted to say one more thing on this Justin Fields saga, especially now that the Jim Chaney news has come out and people are kind of tying the Chaney Fields thing together. I know that over the course of the last few weeks, the last couple of months, the Justin Fields issue has been one that has divided Dog Nation a little bit. But I'm hopeful that moving forward, that all of us, the people that listen to the show, people that comment, on the post at dognation.com and just Georgia fans in general, I'm sort of hopeful that that Georgia fans can find 2 points on Justin Fields that we can agree on moving forward. 2 points on which I think that all Dog fans should be able to agree on. The first one is this, and to set this up, I want to let you hear Jim Chaney, the departed now offensive coordinator from Georgia, now at Tennessee, going into the Sugar Bowl, was asked, were you happy with the way that Fields was used this year, and how did this year go having both Jake Fromm and Justin Fields? Well, something that Chaney says leads me to a point in which I believe that all Georgia fans ought to be able to agree. Here's Jim Chaney on that.
It's been tough. There's no question about that. But once again, if you separate the quarterback spot and look over there at the wide receiver spots and you say, hey, that kid standing by me on the sideline, but he has a unique skill set. Let's try to utilize him. But if you look at the quarterbacks the same way, we kind of try to do that with Justin a little bit this year. So we don't want to leave our team in a disadvantage because of any particular position. So you try to do the best you can by utilizing the skill set of your existing players, and that's what we try to do. You look back on the season, I don't know. I'll reflect back on it when the season's all the way over. Right now, I think we did right, and we'll see how it plays out.
So at the end there, you hear Jim Chaney say, right now, I think we did right with how we handled these quarterbacks. Here's a point that I think all Georgia fans ought to be able to agree with, even if you ultimately believe, like I do, that Jake Fromm is the true and right starter for the Georgia Bulldogs. With that being said, Georgia did not do right this year in how it handled Fromm and Fields. Playing Fields as sporadically as it did in a sort of weird time for which it did, that's not right. That was a mistake. They should have either played Fields more or played him less, maybe play him not at all, but inserting him the way they did was not right. And if Fields feels frustrated about the fact that he was handcuffed by the plays he was given a chance to run at Georgia, I can kind of understand that. Now, I maybe not agree with the extreme pro Fields camp who says he should have gotten to play a whole lot more. I believe maybe there's a chance he should have played even less. But one way or another, the way that he was used was not right. It was wrong. And that's something on which I think all Georgia fans ought to be able to agree. But here's the other thing. Thomas Mars, the Fields attorney, has been in the media a lot. One thing in which I think that all Georgia fans ought to be able to agree upon is no matter how much we like Justin Fields and wanted to see more of Fields Georgia, smearing Georgia on Fields' behalf is the kind of thing that Georgia fans ought not tolerate. By the way, as we get ready to wrap up today, 803 days since those lousy, sneaking Gators have beaten Georgia. It's our Gator Hater Updater, and we'll see you tomorrow right back here on Dog Nation Daily.